Now, as Steve says, my name is Laura Auld, and I'm married to the incredible Peter Auld. Those of you who know him will know he's incredible. And I've been part of this church family now for 12 years, and like Emma, I just feel so, so blessed to be in this family. It is an amazing family, and if you're part of it, know that actually it's not the norm to be like this. We have something really special here. Well, I'm really happy to be speaking to you today. And guys, whatever you think of Mother's Day, it is a very good excuse to honour our mums. And I feel like mums don't often kind of get thanked very much. It's kind of, oh, I'm a mum, that's just what I do, and, you know. But actually, you're pouring your lives out every day, not just for your family, but for our church family and for society. And so if you're a mum here today, and that includes spiritual mums, stepmums, anybody who's mothering in any kind of capacity, I would love for you just to stand up so that we can honour you and thank God for you. So be brave. Let's clap these lovely women. I have an amazing friend called Wendy, and she teaches us whenever we get encouragement to suck it up. So mums, suck it up. Well, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about what mums do and how amazing their love is. But I don't know if you know, in the Bible it actually says, honour your father and mother. It's actually one of the Ten Commandments, and it's right up there with do not murder, which I'm hoping you agree is a fairly important rule for a successful society. So it's a really big deal to God that we respect and honour our parents. And whilst both mums and dads are of equal importance, today it's all about mums. So my aim this morning is to celebrate and honour the way that mothers love their children so that we can become more thankful to them and hopefully more like them in the way we love each other. And I also want to show you with every fibre of my being that God longs to love you guys in the same way. Actually, if it was possible, and I really mean this, if it was possible for me to follow you around for the next week and say to you every minute of every day, God loves you, then I would do it. Now, I know some of you are thinking, why has the church asked a mad stalker woman to come and speak to you this morning? But can I reassure you, I'm not mad or a stalker. I am just so, so desperate for you to know how much God loves you. Now, to me, a mother's love is like a diamond. It has many facets, and depending on where you hold it under the light, a different part of it will shine out. Now, I've only got time to focus on two aspects this morning, but the first thing I want to show you is that a mother's love is comforting. And the second amazing quality about a mother's love is that it's powerful. Now, I'm sure you'll agree that our mums are one of the biggest influences on our lives. And George Washington, who was the first ever president of the USA, recognised this when he said, "All I am, I owe to my mother." So, the first thing I want you to notice about a mother's love is that it's comforting. Well, have you ever seen what happens when a child is upset? So I've got this amazing godson who is beautiful, called Malachi. And if he's ever sad, the first thing that he does is look for his mum. But before he can even see her catching his eye, Mickey's already there, soothing him with his sobs, with her kisses and her cuddles. And that's comfort. It's the security and peace of knowing that you are not alone in your pain, but that you are loved. Well, wouldn't we all like some of that? What if we can? One of my favourite verses in the Bible is where God says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." Let's just pause there for a moment. Isn't that amazing? God wants to comfort you. In fact, he says, "I will comfort you." It's just amazing. Now, I know that today might be a hard day for some of you. You might have lost your mum, or you might have a difficult relationship with your mum. But God wants you to know that his heart's desire is to comfort you. And for those of you who are mums, we'll let God's word encourage you that the God of the whole universe likens his love and his comfort to yours. That's how powerful your comfort is. Well, it's true that we all need comfort when we're anxious or upset. My husband is self-employed, and There are days where I can worry about whether we're going to have enough to live on, because he doesn't get a salary and we never know what's coming in next. Usually it's late at night. But what comforts me in those moments is knowing that God is my Father and he promises to provide for me. But we also need comfort when we're hurting. Many years ago now, I was in a really happy, loving relationship that I thought was heading towards marriage, and so did most of my friends. And it ended in a very devastating and quick way. And I just remember this time when I was at my mum and dad's house and I was kind of leaning on my mum's shoulder and crying. You know that kind of crying where you just snot and mess everywhere and you feel like you're never going to stop. And my mum couldn't take that pain away. But what she could do was sit with me in that pain and be with me and reassure me with her words of love. And not only did she comfort me, but God comforted me with these words of his. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He is near to those who are crushed in spirit. And there's going to be some of you here today who are going through a tricky time with your children, with your partners, with people in your family, your friends. And if you're going through a difficult time in relationships, know this, that God cares about your broken heart and he wants to comfort you in your pain. Well, I love my mum. She's an incredible woman. I think there's a picture of her, hopefully. There she is. And she does lots of things. She's amazing at loving people. But one of the things she does is that she cooks for people. And she takes things to people when they're hurting or when they're going through a difficult time in their marriage or they're sick. And so she makes all this delicious food. And her simple acts of service show God's amazing comfort to people. It's really powerful. However, I've not always been so good at thanking her. There was one time when I was about 3 years old. And basically, my mum wanted to make this really nice pudding for us as a family. So she used the finest chocolate. She decided to make this chocolate mousse. And she separated the eggs from the egg whites. And she whisked them all into peaks. And put in the chocolate, folded the ingredients carefully. And then patiently just waited for it to set. And finally, when it came to supper that evening, she was rewarded with my heartfelt compliment. Mummy, it's almost as good as Angel Delight. I know, she went to all that trouble and I compared it to a packet mix. But seriously, please be better than I was at 3 years old at honouring your mum. It's really easy. We can just say thank you with flowers or practical help or a coffee out. All these little things help our mums to know that we appreciate them. Well, I'm sure you've noticed that a child's automatic response when they're hurting or afraid is to go to their mum. But as we get older, we become a bit more independent, don't we? And instead of going to the right place for comfort, we can run to all kinds of things like shopping or alcohol or food. Well, I used to really hate what I looked like. And when I looked in the mirror, I would tell myself that I was fat and ugly and useless. And this became a bit of a pattern in my life. And sometimes I would go to clothes for comfort. So I'd go clothes shopping. My thinking, to let you into what was going on for me at that time, was along these lines. If I buy a beautiful dress, it will make me look less ugly. The sad thing was that after a shopping binge came the guilt of overspending. And then the sad realization that the next morning, when I was standing in front of the mirror again, I still hated what I saw. What about you? Where do you go for comfort? For years, I had no idea that God wanted to comfort me. But slowly, I started to go to him. I started to tell God that I felt ugly, and he told me that he thought I was beautiful. He told me every day, I was slow to learn, until I started to believe him. Now, I'm still on that journey, and I still have days where I don't like what I see in the mirror. But I can tell you I'm so much freer than I was at that time. And if you don't like what you look like, or you don't like who you are, then you'll be like me. You'll be in a lot of pain today. But God says don't stay in that lonely place. Go to him, tell him how you feel, and let him comfort you. Here's how it works. The child goes to the bank of mum. The child deposits pain and withdraws comfort. The Bible says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. As we tell God how we feel and give him our pain, a mind-blowing transaction takes place. We give him our pain and our fear, and out comes the comfort of God. Amazing. But we can all display God's comfort to others through listening, being quick to show affection, and by being encouraging with our words. So let's be good at comforting others, and more importantly, let's be quick to point others to the perfect comforter, God. Well, the second thing I want you to know this morning about a mother's love is that it's powerful. It's powerful in two ways. One, because it's unconditional, and two, because it's life-changing. The definition of unconditional love is love without conditions. No strings attached. And it's the purest form of love because it's love for love's sake. Well, I see examples of unconditional love all the time in our church family, and I'm sure you do too. We've got lots of babies and toddlers running around. Sadly, they're not with us now, but they're out having fun where they are. And sometimes you see one of them running around. Now, back me up here, because you have seen this. Running around with what I can only describe as snot monsters oozing out of their nostrils. And still, even in that state, you've all seen it. The parent scoops the little darlings up and gives them a big kiss. I have to say, it grosses me out, but I don't have my own children yet, and I'm sure it's lovely, really. But to me, that is unconditional love. Because I don't like what I see right there, but they do, and they love them anyway. When I was 18, I got to the final stages of the Oxford Uni interviews, and I was going for a college that had only 4 places. And when I received my rejection letter, the first thing my parents said to me was, "We love you and we're proud of you." Bam, unconditional love right there. At that moment, I knew that their love for me was not based on my performance or my ability, but on the fact that I was their daughter and they loved me. When I was a teacher, one of my favourite phrases when I had to discipline a child at school was, "I always love you, I don't always love your behaviour." And like any good mum, God doesn't like bad behaviour, but whatever we do or we don't do, he always loves us. So do you see the power of unconditional love? It shows you that you're intrinsically valuable, and it teaches you how you should expect others to treat you, so that you can form healthy relationships. Unconditional love is powerful because it allows you to be yourself in every situation. So how are you doing at loving people unconditionally? Now, if you've ever been around a mum with a newborn, you'll have noticed that she loves her baby long before the baby can ever say, "I love you" back. And through sleepless nights and drooling chins and leaky nappies, she loves without being loved back. Amazing. And God's love, too, is unconditional in a remarkable way. I love this verse in the Bible. It says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." God made the first move. And in a daring and vulnerable maneuver, he put himself out there to the world. And he said, "World, I love you. And to prove how much I love you, I will give up the most precious thing to me, my son Jesus, so that your sins get paid for and you can become my child." Well, this was risky for God because he faced deep rejection from us. Just as a mother invests her time, her energy, and her love into her child with no certain return for her investment, so God says as loudly as he can, "Sarah, I love you. Brian, I love you." He won't force you into relationship with him, and it's your choice if you want to receive his love. He loves you whatever you decide. Well, secondly, a mother's love is powerful because it's life-changing. W.R. Wallace, who was an American poet with Scottish roots, wrote this poem with a very famous line, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And if you think about it, every CEO who treats their employees fairly and every charity worker who transforms lives has a mother. If you're a mum here today, then you need to know that the way you love your child is life-changing. You've got the power to change society and to make our world a better place. As you influence your child every day, in normal everyday ways, by the way you live and the things you say. And more than that, and this really excites me, all of us have the ability to influence one another and the next generation if we're prepared to share and pass on what we've learnt. Well, I was chatting to my mum the other day, asking for some stories for this talk, and she told me about a time when she passed her knowledge on to me. So my mum used to walk me to school every day, and I was about 5 years old when this happened. And on the way to school, I said to her, "Mummy, what is takeaway?" She paused for a moment and then began a long and elaborate explanation. Let me think. We don't really have takeaways, so this might be hard to explain. Well, you know how Mummy makes fresh food every night from scratch? Well, takeaway is another type of food that other people make, and you can go and pick it up from the shop and bring it home to your house and eat it, and then you don't have to cook. Oh, I know. You know how sometimes we go to the chip shop and we take away chips and we bring them home to eat? Well, that's takeaway. Finally satisfied that she had successfully explained takeaway to her five-year-old, my mum looked at me, looking back at her with a confused expression. "But Mummy, what is 4 takeaway 2? I never knew that story, but it explains a lot because I still don't get maths now. It's true, isn't it? Mothers are always teaching their children so that the next generation is not empty-handed. And most of it's done in everyday situations. My mum is great at passing things on, whether it's how to make amazing homemade soup or insight into how to be a wife or a leader. I've heard it said that the mother's heart is the child's schoolroom. If you're a mum, don't underestimate yourself. You can take precious jewels from your heart and put them into your own child so that you change their life forever. Well, last Sunday I was round at my godson's house for lunch, and I loved that his mum always got him to say thank you. Never belittle these seemingly small and everyday moments between you and your child, because you are shaping the next generation. You're making society a more caring place. Let's be good at regularly thanking our mums for teaching us how to be kind, compassionate people who change the world. Well, I love what the writer and folklorist Neil Hurston said. "Mama exhorted her children at every opportunity to jump at the sun. We might not land on the sun, but at least we'd get off the ground." Your belief in your child frees them to be who they are and releases them to do all they were destined to do. I'm just going to let that drop for a minute. So powerful. If you're a mum, you are so powerful. We're so thankful to you. Well, the biggest barrier to people being called, being all they can be, and seeing their dreams fulfilled is fear. Have you ever noticed how we don't try new things or things outside of our comfort zone because we fear failure and what other people will think if we fail? A mother can replace fear with security by the way she loves that child. And for that child, well, anything is possible. Just imagine for a moment if we all loved like this. Let's make 2013 the year that we encourage our friends and family to go for their dreams. If you remember nothing else from my talk today, I really want you to know that God's deepest desire is to lavish you with his love to the point where you love who you are and you're free to be who you are. His love enables you to be free from fear so that no dream is too big for you to pursue. The Bible says there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out all fear. God's perfect and unconditional love for you will drive every fear from your life. And the consistency of his love towards you in every situation will bring you a deep security. Those of you who knew me a few years ago will know that I was stuffed full of fear. And there was literally so much fear in me, it was kind of splurging out and affecting every area of my life. But God has loved me so much and so well that there's no room left for fear. God's love has literally taken up all the space. And his love's powerful because it's changed my life forever. And now I'm not so full of fear, I've been ticking things off my dreams list. So things like learning to ski and acting in plays and speaking in front of you guys today. I've written down over 100 dreams, I haven't finished yet, and I'm going for them. How about you? Well, as I close, I want to say that it's possible for all of us, whether we're men or women, to love the way mothers do. Let me explain. Be comforting. When a person is anxious, offer them a listening ear and words of peace. Love unconditionally. Back your friends up all the time so that they know that you agree, whether you agree with them or not, so that they know that you love them. Be a life changer. Share your story and be generous with what you've learnt so that you pass the baton on to the next generation. If we love like that, we will change the world. Well, I don't know if you know, but Mother's Day originated long ago because children worked away from home. And that meant that they were also away from their home or mother church. So people were given a Sunday off in Lent to return home to their mother church. And inevitably, it became an occasion for family reunions. Historians think that this is where the tradition of children being given a day off to visit their mother came from. And as they walked along the country lanes, they'd pick up violets or little flowers to give as a gift to their mum. So today, as you are perhaps returning home to visit your mother, or you have her with you, and for all of you out there, God extends an invitation of his own. He invites you to return to him, to come home to a father who loves you and thinks the world of you, a father who longs to comfort you and free you from all your fear so that you can live the life that you dreamed of. I'd love just to pray for us all before I sit down. You've been amazing at listening. Thank you. I really pray that the thing that drops down and that you really feel from today is how much God is for you, how much he loves you, and how much he longs to comfort you in your places of pain. So let's just close our eyes if you want to. And I'm just going to pray. Father, we love you so much and we just thank you that you love us in such an amazing way. Thank you that wherever we are up to, whatever we're like, you love us right now more than you could ever love us. And Father, we pray that you would show us and reveal to us your love, your deep love for us. That you'd come and give us an encounter with you this morning that is powerful and that changes our lives forever. And God, we thank you that we are not alone in our fears or our pain, but that you long to comfort us. Help us, God, to come quickly to you first when we need comfort. And God, we want to receive your comfort. We give you our pain, we give you our fears, our anxieties, and we receive your comfort. And God, thank you that you've got a perfect plan for each one of us. Father, I pray that this would be the year when we know once and for all that you love us, you're for us, and you've got dreams for us. Help us to step into those dreams with courage today. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.